I'd like to begin with a word of prayer this evening. Gracious Father, we come before you this evening. Father, as your child, I present myself before you. Lord, I give you my mind. I give you my memory. I give you my mouth. I give you my entire will. You're gone. I pray, Lord, tonight, by the help of your Spirit, that your word would go forth and that it would accomplish your holy will. And at the end, dear God, you receive all the glory. I pray you bless your children tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you about a Damascus experience. I want to talk to you by the help of the Lord about what that means for us in this day and age. I believe by the help of the Spirit of God that in the wicked time in which we live, a time in which the world is growing darker and darker, Scripture bears that out. You don't have to be very educated to look around and consider the history of your society, your little community where you live, and see that there is a general progression downward in the morality of men and women, in the mindsets of governments and various things in our communities and in our country especially. We're very concerned with the downward trend. But it's not limited to just the United States of America. It's happening across the globe. And we know this because Scripture has prophesied that that would come to be. That there would be perilous times and that the days would be dark. And like many other folks that are getting older and are older, you look at the world, you consider the trend, you study the pattern, you know the end result of the world. And your heart grows heavy for those that are younger than you. And you wonder, what is it going to be like for them? If I've seen this kind of progression in my short time, we tremble and shudder at the thought of what it will be like when they have a chance, Lord willing, to grow. The pressures of the world are great. The tricks of the enemy are many. They're plentiful, and left to your own devices, if you try to withstand the devil, you're going to lose every time. Every single time you try to deal with the enemy of your soul on your own intellect, on your own efforts, on your own abilities of what you think you might understand in the things of God, you're going to fail. The devil is smarter than you are. He is trickier than you are. He has existed since the beginning of Adam and Eve. And he's had lots of opportunity to perfect his craft. He has failed many times. Praise God. But he knows a lot. He has a great deal of power, but it's borrowed. I want to remind you of that tonight, that you remember when you leave here tonight that while the devil may have power, it is borrowed. Jesus said all power in heaven and earth was given unto him. That means that anything that the devil is permitted to do, it is by permission. And that's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to encourage us tonight. This isn't a message of gloom and doom, but this is a message of, let's be obvious. Let's look at the things that are out there and state the obvious. Let's realize that there are some pressures out there, but at the same time, it's not a time to be scared. It's not a time to retreat. It's not a time to draw back and be fearful and frightened of the devil, but it's a time to run to the Lord. It's a time to run to God Himself, that we get a hold of something so that when we deal with the things that we have to deal with in this world, we can be victorious. I'm not interested in just, you know, sometimes we get to talking about things and I deal with a lot with young folks because I enjoy them, I love them. And sometimes, and it's not just them, it's others, I think we have low expectations of God. We just want to come back next year. And we just want to come back the year after that. And sometimes we set our sights just a little bit higher. And we'd say, well, you know, I'd like to have some growth, some spiritual growth in my life. From this monarch to next monarch, I want to look back and see that there's growth. Yeah. Yeah. As we should. Yeah. But we're not to go to heaven alone. Right. Lord, help us to have an expectation, a hope, and a goal that is loftier than me just making it year after year and just improving slowly and slowly. But Lord, help me to grow with leaps and bounds. And dear God, show me, teach me, how can I deal with those out there that are lost that I might bring them in? Have a goal, have an aim, have a purpose, have a desire, set your mind to it. I know some of you out there are... You're those, what do they call, A-type personalities. You want to get something done, you make a list, and you go down the list, and you just check them off. And you get them done. Lord, help us to get an idea and a vision of who the Lord wants us to reach, that we might start making a list, a little prayer list, and we start waking up each and every day and say, Lord, what do I have to do to accomplish this list? What is there that I can do to accomplish the will of God? Well, it gets to a need that we have. We've got to have a divine revelation of God. As our own self. There are people that get things, that get a hold of God for themselves, and there are others that try to live by their experience. I can tell you firsthand, I tried that. It doesn't work. It will leave you hopeless. It will leave you dejected. It will leave you empty at night when you get home and you're in your bed and you're laying there in the privacy of your own thoughts. You'll feel it. You'll feel that void. You'll feel that emptiness. But rather, what I believe God desires for each and every child of God to have is a divine understanding, a revelation of God to your own heart, that you might understand that if every minister, everybody in here were to stand up and renounce God, that you have something that would allow you to say, what is wrong with all of you? Don't you realize how real God is? A divine revelation that allows you to stand regardless of how dark this world gets, regardless of every building around you, spiritual pillar of God that you've trusted in, every person that you've had confidence in, go ahead and lay down and give it up. I refuse. I've got a hold of something. You know, God will answer your doubts. Specifically, I recall before I got saved, I had a very vulgar mouth. And I was hanging out with most of the people you saw up here singing earlier. That's why I'm here. Praise God. But I was hanging out with them, and I'd go to service. And then I would go on living my own life. And as Brother Rod talked about last night, I was trying to do things on my own terms. And sometimes, once in a while, I'd deceive myself into thinking I was okay. But there was a period of time where I had such a filthy mouth and I was getting tired of it. And I thought, you know, I really do need to get saved. The Lord in His mercy opened my eyes and showed me that I wasn't. And so He began dealing with my soul, and I wanted to get saved, but I'm not a very good hypocrite. It's said that Elwells, they're 100% sinners or 100% saints. And I'd have to say that's true. And when I was a sinner, I was 100%. And when I began wanting to live for the Lord, I had a problem with a vulgar mouth. And so it was, I would try. I'd say, all right, that's it. You're done. No more of this. Just stop it. It's enough. And I'd be a good boy. And I'd go 3, maybe 5, 7 days, thinking, this is great. I got this. This thing's whipped. And then something would happen. Somebody would do something wrong. I'd drop something on my toe, and out it came. And then you get all frustrated with yourself, and you get dejected, and you're like, well, forget it. Why try? And you go back to what you were. Well, then you get to feeling guilty, so you give it another shot. Let's try it again. Let's get back up on that horse and try it again. And so we go a few more days in our own efforts, only to fail over and over and over and over again. Sounds an awful lot like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? The things that I wanted to do, I couldn't. The things that I didn't want to do, I found myself doing. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? I didn't know that scripture too well. And I had some doubts. I wasn't 100% certain in the power of God. Now, if you would have asked me, do you believe in evolution? I'd say, no, that's silly. It doesn't even make sense intellectually, let alone anything beyond that. I would have told you I believed in a God, but I didn't know much about Him, and I didn't know what His power enabled Him to do in an individual life. I just knew a little bit, grew up at least with the idea that God had created things. But I wasn't sold out. There was no power. There was no consecration to the concept of God. But Jesus said, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, though it's little, if you'll plant it, if you'll exercise it, if you'll allow it to accomplish what it's capable of doing, it grows into something big. And the ability to function and harbor fowls of the air. So it was, I still remember in my yellow, canary yellow 1977 Toyota Celica two-door fastback. Piece of junk. But I remember it. Because it was in that car that I got off work after month after month of month and month of trying to quit this vulgar mouth so that I wouldn't be a hypocrite, so that when I got saved, I wouldn't turn back. That's just the kind of person I am. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, and I'm not turning back. And I couldn't go to God and feel right, trying to live for the Lord and continue all this stuff. And I tried within my own efforts. It wasn't a half-hearted effort. I honestly tried, and for months I gave it my best, only to fail time and time again. Well, a teacher of mine had a poster up in his room, and it's a picture of a bird, and it's got a frog in its mouth and partway down its throat. And the frog, little legs hanging out the back, two arms have reached around and choked the neck of that bird just below where his head was. And on the poster it said, never give up. I receive inspiration from that. And so here I am in that little car, and I'm getting on the freeway on the 205 at Division. And the only reason I'm telling you these details is because that's how powerful it was, that it was in the year of 1994, and I still remember it. Because that's how powerful our God is. And it was there that I exercised that little grain of mustard seed, and I said, Lord, and I'm praying while I'm driving, and I said, Lord, I can't quit cussing. To be an 18-year-old young man, full of strength, full of vigor, feeling like you got control of everything, only to realize that there is a power that is stronger than you, was scary. See, I wanted to get rid of that cussing problem because I wanted to get saved. I wanted to live for the Lord. But in my mind, I couldn't do it as a hypocrite. I needed some power. Power that was beyond me. And so it was that I said, Lord, if you'll deliver me from this cussing problem, I'll think about getting saved. I guess you realize what the Lord did. He completely delivered me from that problem. Praise God, by His power, the words don't even enter my mind anymore. They're completely eradicated. And I want you to realize that was a divine revelation of God and His power and His ability and the fact that He is more than just an idea. He is more than just a concept. He's more than just a thing that people want to follow around. And every time something good is attributed to Him, amen. God answered my specific need because He saw the faith. There are people, maybe here tonight, maybe there are people that you're going to run into and people are tossing and turning and they have doubts and they're not 100% sure if God is real. They hear what happens to other people. But they wonder within themselves. God wants to meet you tonight. I honestly believe with my whole heart that God will answer your doubts. God will answer your questions. If you find yourself in a place and you're not sure if God is real, if you'll just exercise but a little bit of faith, if you'll just cry out to Him and acknowledge His existence and acknowledge, dear God, I'm struggling. Like the man said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. God will meet you. He'll be very deliberate. He'll be very specific. You remember Thomas? Thomas gets a bad rap. And I guess I try to defend him because I can identify with Thomas. I want to see it for myself. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to know. I have an expectation. I want God to be real to me. I want Him to reveal Himself so that He takes it from my mind to my heart. Because I don't have the ability to do that within myself. As a minister of God, I don't have the ability to do that for you. Oh, but praise God, we've heard so much in this meeting and I don't think we can hear it enough. Brother Gordon, you're right. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to teach us, to impress things upon our heart that enables us that though all men fall, though the wickedness rage and the heathen rage and the devices of the enemy increase more and more and they become more and more sophisticated to the point that our mind is perplexed, that we'll have something in our heart settle us, establish us, that we can withstand every trick of the enemy. I believe in that God tonight. Amen. I believe that God will answer your needs just as He did. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Most of us are familiar. But you'll remember Jesus spoiled all the other apostles. They got to see Him. Do you ever think about that? Thomas gets in trouble for doubt, but they all got to see Jesus. Do you blame him? Is there anybody out there tonight that's got some doubts? Got some questions? Got some problems? Maybe you're saved and sanctified, been dealing with some problems. You're just not 100% sure. God's got an answer. God has a divine revelation, a divine truth that He'll impart to you, and He'll speak directly to your need. This is one of the differences between the devil and God. The devil is very ambiguous. God is specific. There is nowhere to hide. You remember when Nathan came to David and he says, "Thou art the man." and this is what you have done. There was no question in David's mind what the problem was. And just as it was for Thomas, when they all come back and they're telling Thomas, oh, we've seen the Lord. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive. And Thomas says, unless I see it with my own eyes and touch it with my own hands, I'm not going to believe it. But you know, if you go and read the text, you just hear what Jesus said to him. As soon as Jesus saw Thomas, he called him by name. This is how specific God is. He knows our name. And he said, Thomas. Remember, Jesus wasn't there when Thomas made his statement. But when Jesus was there, he understood the need that Thomas had. And he said, Thomas, reach forth the hand and touch me. Thomas never touched him. That revelation was enough. God answered his need, and it was enough to know that you are my Lord and Savior. Oh, Lord and my God, you are alive. You are who you said you were. You possess the power that you said you had. That revelation alone was enough to cause that apostle to go out through all of India without any of the other apostles and witness to a heathen people with all different kinds of gods, with all different kinds of culture. I think about this. At least Paul and Peter got to deal with Jews, and they had some kind of background. They had an expectation of a Messiah coming. Thomas had to work from scratch. He had to overcome all these foreign heathen ideas, reincarnation, and all these other things that they had come up with. But that revelation was enough to give him the ability to go into a foreign land, to go into a hostile environment, and to take people captive for God. This is the kind of power God desires. This is what it means to have a Damascus experience. We read over here. Let's turn and read in the 9th chapter of Acts. We title this the Damascus experience because we think of Paul and his conversion. And it happened on the way to Damascus. And we'll read here Acts 9 and 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I think many of us are familiar here. Paul was not doing a good deed. He thought he was. In his own efforts, in his own striving, he was desiring to put Christians, new believers, in jail. And we read on here, we'll go down to the third verse. It says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. It's so easy to read that and go, yeah, light fell. No big deal. That's God. That's what we experience on our own when we cry out to the Lord and we exercise that little bit of faith, that little mustard seed, and we say, Lord, I have a particular need. Lord, the innocency of my heart, my heart's desire cries out to you, and God shines a light. That's no small experience. This is something real. And as we see, there's a discourse that goes on between. And there again, Jesus shows up again. And Jesus happens to know his name. Do you realize there's people walking around in the world, and maybe here tonight, and they're not sure if God's real? Oh, they like to see and hear the things that happen. But they're like, push came to shove. If they had a gun put to their head and were asked what do they believe, they might just walk out tonight. Before you do that, I'd like you to know, I'm not up here in my own efforts. Left to my own devices, I'd sit down, because it's much easier to say amen from your seat. It's much easier to say praise the Lord, hallelujah, bless that brother or sister. But God has asked that I come and I tell you tonight, if you're struggling with doubt, whether or not you really believe God exists, come down and taste and see. Come experience God for yourself. He knows your name. He knows your struggle. He knows the things that you face. He knows the questions that are on your mind. And He's not going to beat you up. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him come unto me, and I'll give to him liberally. I will not upbraid. I will speak to your direct concern and your direct need. Oh, Lord, praise God. I remember a time. We were having youth camp. And a lot of times I get asked to do a Bible study. And I don't have a problem with that, Julie. But I knew it was coming up and I knew that I'd be asked. And I was feeling kind of, I wasn't feeling really on fire. I hadn't lost anything. I hadn't turned my back on the Lord. But emotionally, spiritually, it was just one of those dry spells. And it was one of the first major ones I've ever had. And me not wanting to be a hypocrite thought it would be hypocritical to try and do a Bible study when you're feeling like that. So I had learned something with my vulgar mouth that God had delivered me from. I had learned a very precious secret. And that secret was that if I would go and be honest with God, if I would cry out to Him and I would give Him my heart and I'd give Him my needs and speak to Him these things, that He'd eventually meet me. And so it was. I was there on my knees crying out to the Lord. And I'm pretty blunt when I pray to the Lord. And I just said, God, I'm not feeling it. I'm in a rut. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I don't know what I need. I know they're going to ask me to do a Bible study. Lord, I can't say yes unless I have something. And in honesty, I said, Lord, I know a few things about You. But show me Yourself in a way that I have never seen You before. Very specific. I didn't know how long it was going to take the Lord to answer. In our humanity, we'd like it to be right then. But it wasn't. And that gets back to what Brother Ed mentioned the other night and Brother Dan was saying, that there comes a time that you're going to have to believe. Scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it is, we pray that prayer, we can be very specific, and we can get up and walk from that place, not being discouraged, not being downcast, but have an expectation that God will meet my need. Amen. I was thankful. The Lord was pretty quick on this one. The next day, I got on the computer, and I was doing some things on the internet, and the Lord just whispered to me ever so slightly, He says, I want you to go to the online version of the King James Bible, and I want you to type in the word accident. So I got online and I typed in the word accident, and then it does its search through the entire Bible and the Apocrypha and comes back and it says however many matches, how many times it occurs in the Bible and where it's at. Zero matches. And I thought about that for a second. I thought, what? And the Lord whispered to me and He says, that's because I don't make any. You want to talk about getting out of a rut? You want to talk about getting something down in your heart? Realizing that everything that comes into my life, from that moment forward to the day that I die, nobody can take that away from me. That is something that I will stand on when I face trial, when I face tribulation, when I face hard times, when I face times that I don't feel like I can go on, when I face times that I'm down emotionally, sick, tired, confused, whatever it is, whatever's in my life, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because God told me Himself that there are no accidents. The things that I face, they're for a specific purpose. They're for a specific reason. This is what I'm talking about, that Damascus experience, when God begins to write upon our hearts, when God gives us something, when we're able to get a hold of the Word of God, and it becomes more than just words on a page, more than just something the preacher or teacher talks about, more than just a song that we sing, but it becomes a real living experience in my life. Oh, glory to God, this is what He's promised for His children. This is what every one of us is to have. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the teacher. It's not just for those that you look up to spiritually, but God wants all of His children to have this kind of experience. Oh, when it comes to divine revelation, when it comes to things that God gives us, it'll solve a lot of problems. You have a hard time getting along with somebody? Get a divine revelation of love from God. Get a hold of it. See it as God sees it. And you're going to find it's impossible to hold a grudge. You're going to find it's impossible to hold people captive for the things that they do and the things that they say and the way that they treat you, because you'll begin to be like Jesus Christ Himself. This is what the brother talked about this afternoon. What is the hope and the mystery of God? Jesus Christ within us, the hope of glory. In this present world, we possess this kingdom right now, right here, tonight. We can have it. We can have the ability to love as He loved. We can have the ability to care for people as He cared for them. We can have, Brother Lesby the other day said, long-suffering or forbearance was to put up with. It's to put up with them in love. Meaning it's, we can put up with some things. I'm not a big fan of spaghetti. I can put up with it. But when it comes to dealing with other people, we fail sometimes. We do. Do you know there's more revelation for you than what you have? But as the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we go and we ask and we ask and we ask, and Lord, why aren't I getting it? And we start telling, well, I'm asking. What's the rest of that scripture say? You ask amiss. Maybe we're asking for the wrong thing. Too many times, Lord, change them. Lord, change this about it. Lord, help them to see it my way. We usually don't pray that way, do we? At least not that direct. But I would if we were to ask God what He would think about it. What He might say. You know, in our experience, sometimes we treat it the way we do those user agreements. You know what I'm talking about? If you've bought new software, if you've downloaded an app on your smartphone, or any of those other kinds of things, you sign up for Facebook or something like that, and they got the user agreement. And most people will read the first paragraph, maybe skim a little more and say, forget it, scroll down, where's the click, I agree, and just move on. You know, sometimes we treat the Word of God like that. We treat our salvation like that. Oh, we read the highlights. We get a few little ideas here and there, and then we just pass on and continue doing what we're doing and not even concerned or even thinking about what's going on. What are the agreements? What are the things that I'm supposed to know? When it comes to divine revelation from God, when it comes to you and I having a Damascus experience as the Apostle Paul did, as Thomas did, that he was able to take into India, we're going to have to get into the Word of God. I've been telling the young folks at home, and I tell some of them here, it's not enough just to read and pray. There's a scripture that says, study to show thyself. Study requires effort. That means that I'm going to have to learn some history in order to better understand some things. That means that I'm going to have to spend some time in meditation. That means I'm going to have to spend some time crying out to God. Lord, what does this mean? How does this link up with other things? I'm going to have to study some history. I'm going to have to look at some things and study some background. And I'm going to have to give it some effort. It's not a divine revelation. It's not just something God bonks you over the head and says, here you go. He might start you out like that. He did me. He delivered me from that vulgar mouth. But from then forward, all the different things that I've got a hold of, the things that I believe tonight, God has written on my heart. We need to have a Berean spirit. And by that I mean, if you look in the book of Acts, it says that the Bereans went to the synagogue and Paul would preach and teach. And it says they went home and studied the scriptures to see if it was so. You realize all of us have a responsibility that when we sit under the preaching of the Word of God, we have a responsibility to take mental note, physical note, whatever it is, but we have the responsibility to go home and search the scriptures. And Lord, what is in there for me? What is there that you want me to get a hold of? What is it you want to write on my heart? Because remember, with God, there are no accidents. It's not an accident you heard that message. It's not an accident that you heard that thought. And you find yourself maybe struggling with some things, maybe having some doubts, and you're trying over and over and over again. Stop. Ask yourself, what has the Lord been sending my way lately? What's in it for me, Lord? Am I missing it? Lord, help me to see. Lord, write it on my heart. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to change what the preachers preach. It's going to change it. Because when we get a hold of it, God's got something else for us. I'm going to tell you tonight, we can't exhaust God. We can't exhaust His understanding and His dealings with us. And as we continue to progress, the Lord will give us more and more and more, and the Lord will give you more and more and more revelations. We have Scripture to back that up. Let's go to, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 12 chapter. Maybe verse 6. The Apostle Paul speaking here. Remember, he's the one that had that Damascus experience. And if you recall, when he had that experience, God sent an Ananias in there to anoint him, pray for him, and his eyes were opened both spiritually and physically. And it says that he went into the wilderness and he learned from God. He learned, God wrote things on his heart, and undoubtedly, I'm sure Brother Ananias shared some things with him that God had done for Brother Ananias, and I'm sure Paul took that with him and he meditated upon it, and he searched the scriptures to see if it were so. And you know what I find? Paul went away, he studied, he got a hold of God, he searched the scriptures, and he came back, and guess what? He had the same thing the apostles did. Because there are no accidents with God. 12th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Some familiar scripture here, but verse 6, it says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." You know, we all need to be there. God is the one to receive the glory. Not man. Amen. There's no room or place for any of us to glory in ourselves. There's no room or place for any of us to revel in what people might think. Amen. We're doing the devil's work by that. Lord, help us to give the glory back to God. To recognize who is truly the one. Because the reality is, without Him, as Jesus said, we can do nothing. And we are nothing. And we read on, and Paul says here, look, I don't want you to think of me as somebody special or wonderful or anything. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure." Okay, the Apostle Paul's talking about something very important here. He's talking about pride versus humility. And all the time we read this story and we always think about he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He had an affliction and he sought the Lord three times and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." And usually we emphasize the Lord's grace is sufficient. And I'm not discounting that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But there's something else above there. Anybody catch why he got that affliction? It said, "Through the abundance of revelations that were given unto me." And in other words, if I could paraphrase here, God didn't want me to get a big head. God didn't want me to think I'm more than I am or I'm smarter than somebody else. And I have all this understanding and knowledge of God, and I have this arrogance about me. I have this air of righteousness. I have this air of theology because I know and you don't. God, in His wisdom, gave that brother just exactly what he needed to remember the pit from whence he was taken. But I want you to understand tonight, what would church be like if everybody showed up with an abundance of revelations? What would your Wednesday night service look like if everybody had an abundance of revelations? What would your community think? Your co-workers, your family members, your friends, your acquaintances. What would they think when they see the abundance of revelations that you'd been given? I'm here to tell you that when you get revelations from God, it affects your speech. It affects the way you deal with other people. Day-to-day living is taken care of because God begins to reveal who He is, and it comes out in your life and you talk to people. I remember a couple years ago, I took a group of students to Washington, D.C., and I had another teacher ask me, we got some private time. And for me, when I'm doing my job, I'm always looking, how can I get the gospel out? How can I engage someone so I can start talking about their soul? Brother Rich, like you, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And the Lord did my work for me that night, and that teacher asked the question. And he starts trying to be real careful, and what would you say, supposedly, if someone were to ask, and I just said, just say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. How do you know the Bible's even true? It was written thousands of years ago. And there's all these different translations and people have added and take away. And how do you know? How do you know? I'm so glad you asked. You know, that gave me an opportunity to share my testimony. Because I remember a scripture in the book of Revelation. It says, and they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. And it starts there. And I want us all to get a hold of this tonight. That without the blood of the Lamb, you can do nothing. All your exercise, all your understanding, you can study all you want. And you can get ahead knowledge. But you're not going to overcome the enemy with that. And you'll just feel empty inside. But when you have the blood of the Lamb, you're able to overcome the enemy. And there's another little wisdom, pearl of wisdom in there. It said, by their testimony. Do you realize your testimony is the power to overcome the enemy? Because you can begin to talk. And I could tell that man, I said, well, there's a scripture that says that His truth endures from generation unto generation. This is a promise from God. And I know sometimes when we get out there and we witness to people, this is a legitimate question that people have. How do you know that that book is the right book and not another one? Or even a different version? Because God's written it on my heart. I have scripture. This is what He's promised. But I know it to be true. I was a man of vulgar language. And I tried and I couldn't. But then God delivered me from that. And there have been various things along my life. Revelation after revelation of truth time and time again. Anytime I stood in need, I have found God to be faithful. If I cry out to Him, if I confess my need, if I confess my doubt, and I said, Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to play the hypocrite. I'm going to tell you what my need is. I have found God to be true, 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 specific, and He speaks to our needs. He speaks to the things of our heart. He speaks to the very questions that we have. And when we bring it to Him, and when God brings an answer, it solves the problem. Sister Connie mentioned this morning about the two brothers that wanted to be greatest in the kingdom of God. Scripture says there was a little bit of a dispute after that. I think we all could understand why. But you know, Jesus addressed the situation. And you go search the scriptures. You go read the historical accounts of the apostles, and you'll find there was never a discussion or an argument about that issue ever again. This is what a revelation from God will do to a human being. It eradicates and smashes, completely obliterates the problem, takes away the desires, takes away the carnality of the situation, cleanses it, and just it's dead and gone. Wouldn't you like to have an abundance of this? Sounds pretty good. God is willing to give that. I won't take the time to read it, but I'll give you the scriptures in 2 Chronicles, chapters 14 through 16. We have the story of King Asa. And I'm just going to paraphrase King Asa. King Asa was a man that grew up in wickedness. His father established idolatry in the kingdom of Israel. You guys realize that Damascus, at the time of Jesus, was outside of Israel's borders? It was in Syria. That's enemy territory. God went to the enemy territory and endued Paul with a revelation. King Asa grew up under idolatrous parents and practices, yet his heart was turned to God. And King Asa turned his heart to God, and he brought back the counselors of God into his life. And he began tearing down all the high places, getting rid of all the paganistic worship, getting rid of all the pagan things that were going on. And he cast it all down and he said, we are going to worship the one true God. And God blessed the entire nation. 10 years of peace, no war, and they began working on their defenses and everything else. But there was a problem with King Asa. A problem arose after he'd had a few of these revelations. He had a little bit of understanding. He eventually got to a place where there was a need in his life and there was a struggle. And rather than remember the revelations of God, or rather than admitting, Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, I'm about to just be done. I don't know what to do. I can't go any further. He turned and trusted in men. He turned his back on God. He neglected to receive the blessing of another revelation, of another divine intervention of God. And the result was loss. I wonder tonight if there's some here. You started for the Lord. You know some of these revelations. You can think of them tonight and point back, yep, the Lord met me here. The Lord told me this. But you've had some recent trouble. And you're tempted to want to trust within the flesh. God wants to meet you tonight. God will answer your question. You know, when it comes to the work of God, sometimes we're lazy. When it comes to the lost, there's a sure cure for laziness. Ask God to give you a divine revelation of hell. Ask God to peel back the scales from your eyes to understand just how awful of a place it is. And when you get a divine revelation of hell, you'll find that there is power to motivate you to go out and to rescue. You get a divine revelation of love, and you're going to find that there is power to forgive. You're going to find that there's power to love others in spite of what they do, in spite of what they say. You get revelations of God, and you know what? You're going to get some confidence. You're going to get some confidence in the things of God. You're going to get so confident because it's not you. It's God. And I know what He can do because I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. You want to know how confident am I of this? Over the last year and a half, I've had 6 different Bible studies with a Russian group. They're Church of God, Seventh Day. They keep the Sabbath, literally. And they follow the food laws. And I believe that to be an error. And so here I am all by myself with 4 or 5 other ministers and one of my former students to translate. I'm not going in there on my own. I'm going in there with an expectation that these are people that love God and that want truth. And Lord has given some truth. And so we go there to teach and to share and to communicate to them and to cause them to go and search the Scriptures. I'm not there to beat them over the head. I'm not there to wrestle them away from what they think is right. I'm there to encourage them to get in touch with God that they can see for themselves, that God can show them. You guys remember Brother Nguyen? Vietnamese boy that was here a couple of years ago. He's still serving the Lord, still living victorious. In fact, he's teaching Bible study with youth at the college. And I love to see God multiply like that. And his 2 sisters have gotten saved. But we're not done with that family yet. And it was just recently, a few months back, I felt a burden from the Lord for Brother Nguyen's father. His name is Phuc. Phuoc. And this man has been a Buddhist his whole life. And so I felt the Lord was calling after him. But we have a barrier. Because this man speaks 100% Vietnamese. And I speak 0%. And so when I was feeling the burden, I called Brother Nguyen and I said, "You ready to do the work of the Lord? And can you do it with no emotion?" Because that's his dad. I said, "I need you to translate." And so it was that the Lord worked out an opportunity and I was able to go over and speak with that man. And we had about a 3-hour conversation. And towards the end, I was able to express my burden and tell him I felt and believed with my whole heart that God was calling after his soul. And so I asked him if he would be willing to read the Gospels. And he was agreeable. And he says, I asked him, I always, anytime I'm engaging with somebody, I always try to leave an open door because I want to come back. Sometimes people aren't ready to buy just then. I just want to come back. That comes from that divine revelation of hell. Leave the door open. Come back again and again and again. And so I asked him if I would come back and how long it would take him. And he said 6 months. Because he really wanted to read it. He really wanted to study it. Now, some folks could get discouraged with that and thought, "Oh, I thought he was going to get saved. I had the burden." He's going to get saved. You know how I know that? Because before I left, I asked him, I said, "Phuc, I'm going to be praying for you. How do you specifically want me to pray?" And his answer was just exactly what I wanted to hear. He said, "If your God is who he says he is, and if he's as real as you say he is, and you think that he really wants me, pray that he reveals himself to me." Praise God! Here is a Buddhist man that has no understanding of who the true God is, but he has an understanding that if God is who he is, then I want him to show himself to me. And you know what? I went away from that meeting rejoicing with great confidence because I know my God knows how to reveal himself. And I know my God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And so it is, I pray the prayer of faith, begging God that come Christmas, we're going to get a new brother. When you have divine revelations from God, you can walk out of an experience like that with the utmost confidence because of not what you said, not because of what you shared, not because of what you know, but because of our God. Our God. Jehovah Jireh, Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who has revealed himself time and time again, is going to reveal himself to that man. That same God is here tonight. And he's ready and willing to reveal himself to you if you stand in need tonight. Maybe you're wondering, is God real or not? I'll tell you right now, when people ask me that question, I deal with a lot of unsaved folks and atheists, and they ask me that question, I almost laugh. Are you kidding me? You're questioning whether God's real or not? Oh, I could tell you of all the different times. I'll share one more with you just to inspire your faith. There was a man that had Lou Gehrig's disease. He was unsaved, and I was praying and carrying a burden for him. And the day that I was supposed to go over and visit him, the Lord woke me up that morning, and he says, these are the two questions that he has. And so when I went to meet that man, and I began to talk to him, I said, John, the Lord told me you have two questions, and here they are. And his mouth literally dropped. That's my God. This is the revelation that I'm talking about. This is the abundance of the experience, the abundant life that he desires to give us. If you're wondering tonight whether or not God is real, come down and find out for yourself. If you find that you're dealing with some issues and some problems, some struggles, and you haven't been able to get over it and you don't know what to do, come down and find out. Tell the Lord. Let him show you. Let him teach you that you can go away with confidence. May we stand and have a number.